Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 4th of July, recording at 7:55 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week. For stock markets, the perfect storm continued that we saw in June, with declines pretty well for most stock markets, although Asia was better here today, somewhat. And but the European markets again today were soft, down over 1 percentage point in each instance. And Wall Street, of course, is closed for the 4th of July holiday weekend. Government bonds have been generally steady this week, in line with the weaker stock markets. And the big story has been the firmness of crude oil, and the precious metals had generally rallied, although they gave up a little ground today, yesterday and today. And copper had pushed back up above its high before falling back somewhat. The grain and bean complex has been pretty firm as well. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I've said that the world stock markets are behaving as if they're on an oil standard, and the problem continues. Crude oil, which was trading in here today, currently is at 144.10, so it's maintained that upward break. It still has a consistent chart, albeit overextended. People are fearful with all the talk of $200 oil and the stories flying around that Israel will be bombing Iran. That's a tense standoff, as you're aware. Although, interestingly today, that Iran was alleged to have made some sort of favorable comments about the UN proposal. The UN Security Council proposal. I have posted an article to that effect. Needless to say, that would be wonderful and a rare triumph for the UN Security Council. And if this leads to a major confrontation, well, I tend to regard that as a lose-lose situation. So hopefully, that is avoided. But without wanting to digress too far, you can see that what the stock markets are most concerned by at the moment is the oil price, because if oil continues to go up, particularly if it goes up rapidly, then quite simply we will see not only the U.S. but pretty well all of Europe moving into recession, and a number of emerging markets would do so as well, and it would certainly pare back global GDP growth to an extent that we have not seen since at least 2001, 2002. Now, stock markets have other problems to worry about, of course, that I've mentioned over and over and over again. There is the ongoing Western credit problem, the ongoing Western credit crisis. There is the deleveraging that has been taking place as interest rates have been moving higher. There's the slower global GDP growth, which leads to downgrades of corporate profits, thus leading to my description of the current events as a perfect storm. Chart patterns have been poor. We've had this more or less unrelenting decline since mid-May. Now, if we're looking for silver linings and all that, a number of these trends look overstretched. Therefore, technically, they are quite oversold. Sentiment indicators are at screamingly bullish levels. And we have, you'd guess that anyway from the black mood that we actually have in stock markets. And we also have seen the return of some very interesting value in a number of markets. And of course, we are not currently in a global recession, and I think that will be avoided provided the price of crude oil doesn't spike dramatically higher from here. And if the price of crude oil were to come off, I have little doubt that that would spring at least a medium-term technical rally for stock markets. Incidentally, one market of interest to me where I have a small position, a very small position in family funds, but wouldn't mind having more, is Vietnam. It's actually the top performing stock market over the last 10 days, showing a gain of nearly 20% during that period. But I like Vietnam. It's the East's equivalent of the Wild West. So I describe it as the Wild East in the sense that it is a comparatively new emerging market, and that it wasn't all that long ago that Vietnam really didn't have a stock market at all. But I was talking about Vietnam with a colleague earlier in the day, and just saying, you know, what are all the things that are good about it? It's self-sufficient in energy. Actually, it's an oil exporter, and it is a leading producer of foods. It's a very attractive area for manufacturing, and companies have been moving into Vietnam, so it has a business-friendly government overall. It has a long, beautiful coastline, as yet unpolluted, so that makes it attractive for tourism. And again, as I said, it has a business-friendly government. So what are the downsides here? And the down to the I would say it's less a matter of downsides than question marks. And a big question mark would be over governance. There's always a big question mark over governance, but so far they have shown the Vietnamese have shown quite good governance. Now, that ought to be the case since they can look at their neighbor China. They can look at other smaller, considerably smaller states such as Singapore. I don't think it's ever going to be a democracy, or probably not in my time. And so it's an authoritarian government, but it need not be as heavy-handed an authoritarian government as China. It could be authoritarian government more along the lines of Singapore, in that they allow business to develop, provided you play by the rules. They are quite happy to encourage people to make lots of money. They will, well, I don't know if any government will ever again have the visionary qualities that Lee Kuan Yew prevent that provided. But of course, there was a trade-off there. I did describe it as an authoritarian government, and you would not want to be an opposition politician. In Singapore. So again, I think Vietnam's terribly interesting. I think India is interesting at current levels, although it's too soon to say that the market's bottomed, although it's still holding above that key day reversal low that we saw. But I think really what I'm trying to say is that this is a time that, rather than worrying about whether the US economy is going to be even worse than the recession that most people have been forecasting, mild recession that most people have been forecasting, and rather than worrying about whether crude oil is going to $200, these are not things that you or I can do anything about. But I think what we should be doing is thinking calmly, analytically, when the world economy and stock markets come out of this perfect storm, where do we want to be? Where do we want to be invested? And that's really the focus here. And I think that looking at China down over 50%, looking at India down over 50%, looking at Vietnam down over 50%. These are extremely interesting opportunities. If that's too wild east, then I've made a case for Japan, and I think that's supported by its efficient use of industry, highly educated population, on the cutting edge of technology and in the sectors that have made Japan famous. So there are a number of interesting opportunities, and within pretty well any stock market around the world, you can find plenty of value. I still like Brazil a lot. That's pulled back. So I like the resources markets. Australia is a lot cheaper now. That's a phenomenal play. So I think, again, I want to emphasize that this is a good time to be planning. If you say, well, I don't want to go in and buy now, and then that's very understandable because we could have these markets go lower. There's no clear evidence that they won't go lower, although, as you know, we have a very oversold condition here right now. And I think this would be a very bad time to sell. But and I sense that so many people are spending a lot of time thinking, well, gosh, I didn't sell. Will I get another chance to sell on the next rally? That's what leads to, incidentally, type 3 base formation, base formations to develop, because you get a whole lot of people who have suffered so much psychologically during the downturn and financially that they feel, well, I can't wait to sell this at a little bit higher level. Or they're wondering if they should sell right now because markets might go, heavens, 10, 20% lower. And then there's always somebody to tell you that they're going to go a whole lot lower and that we're going to replay the Great Depression. I don't believe that for a minute. And yes, I'm not feeling complacent about today's problems. They are serious, but we've also seen some serious declines in the stock markets. And again, I'm repeating myself, but it's a point I think worth repeating, and we ought to be concentrating on where we most want to be invested. And there isn't a stock market in the world, I feel, except perhaps some of those Middle East, North Africa, the MENA markets, that have been a momentum play, that for the most part, pretty well all stock markets, and perhaps even some of those, you would find plenty of stocks that are selling on quite conservative valuations and or have quite good earnings prospects. And of course, that's a theme that I'll be talking about more or less daily as we go forward. What about the long-dated government bonds? Well, I don't have much to say on that at this stage, except I think that as we get signals that Wall Street is at least commencing a technical rally, and we haven't had those signals yet. All we have is this very overstretched stretch condition and the extremely bearish sentiment indicators, but they can always become a little bit more overstretched, and those trends and sentiment indicators can always become a bit more extreme. Did I say, the bearish sentiment leading to bullish sentiment indicators? Just to clarify that point. But I do feel that when we see technical evidence that a stock market rally is occurring, and if you want to know what that looks like, just go back and look at the lows that we saw in March, see the upward dynamics, look at the lows that we saw in January, ditto, and last or August, and you'll see the type of technical activity that makes it not that difficult to forecast that a decent rally is commencing. When we do see that, I think that there'll be a short opportunity in the US Treasury bills. I'm talking about those long-dated Treasury bills. Now, in terms of precious metals, we've had pretty good action here. We have had gold really responding to oil and actually to bring stock markets back into this discussion just for one more moment. I've described a situation in which, or an image in which, we have a seesaw, a playground seesaw, and we've got global stock markets on one seat, and on the opposite seat, we have the price of crude oil. And every time crude oil goes up, stock markets go down, and vice versa. But we have seen stock markets go down faster than crude oil has been going up recently, and therefore it has stock markets have already discounted further gains in that crude oil price. I've also described gold as sitting on the same side as crude oil. So crude oil is an influence on gold right now. These are often movable feasts. They'll last for a while, just the way some of you will remember when gold seemed to respond to moves up or down in the US stock market for a period last year. And these are fashion dictated. And the two influences on gold right now, obviously, are the price of crude oil and what the US dollar is doing. But if you look at the charts, and I have reviewed them today, we see a buildup of support for gold. We have some psychological resistance near 950, which may hold it up a bit. It's not incapable, since it shows this buildup of support, it's not incapable that gold could run on the short upwards in the short term. But this is not a bullish period seasonally, as I've mentioned before. Now, seasonally, we would expect gold to be moving up in the fourth quarter of the year and the first quarter of the new year, and it would be doing so on the pre-Christmas buying and the pre-Chinese New Year buying and the pre-India wedding season buying. And if gold were to take off now, it would be doing so, it would be shortening its cycle that we have seen within the trend from the lows back at the beginning of this century. Now, that's certainly not impossible, but it's kind of in the big ask category, and therefore I think I would stick with the policy. I wish I did this all the time myself, but sometimes I don't. I bought a little gold too high back on Wednesday. But I don't have a large position, but what one should be doing is looking to pick up if you share my views in this is my preference is to pick up precious metals on setbacks, and I'd be concentrating on gold and silver. And if you hold gold bullion in your investment accounts, I wouldn't have too many worries about that overall. Incidentally, keep an eye on gold and other currencies. I've posted a few of those, but of course you can see those in the library at any time. And in terms of metals, industrial metals, we've got a bit of a mixed picture. We've had copper reach a new high, new closing high, that is, on Wednesday. Didn't maintain it. It's pulled back, but it's still near the upper side of a huge trading range. And we have aluminium, which is doing the same thing. And I can't remember what the lead chart looks like. I should be able to recall that, but I can't. And we have zinc and nickel, which are very, very depressed. I think those are recovery candidates. Everybody's saying, oh, what about the global slowdown and so on. Well, this can slow and delay the cycle, but There are years and years and years of global infrastructure development in the pipeline that will go ahead. If energy is too expensive, it goes ahead more slowly. If growth is too weak, it goes ahead more slowly, but it will all be happening. And it's not, I'm not just talking Chindia here. And their current economic conditions are no detriment to the Middle East countries that are developing their infrastructure. The United States needs a massive infrastructure overhaul, and I've said all along that the new administration commencing in January of 2009, I think will be considering a massive government directed or funded infrastructure program, or they'll be creating tax advantages to corporations that rebuild America, kind of thing. It'd be sort of a Marshall Plan type of approach. Okay, what else to mention? Agricultural commodities. Well, this is they've been another problem, part of the perfect storm, and I hadn't mentioned those when I did my review at the very beginning. But we've had crop damage. We certainly have momentum plays in there. What I wouldn't be surprised, would not be surprised to see whether it's in the next few weeks or several months away, is that when stock markets do clearly signal an improved environment, and I think we would have some monetary changes now where central banks would be able to declare at least a partial victory in terms of inflation and switch their attention to economic growth. And we are and certainly not there today. But when that does happen, you might think, well, if they switch the emphasis back towards growth, that would just boost commodities that much more. But I think there's been so much investment and speculation in commodities, and of course, including the momentum plays, that when suddenly it does look as if stock markets are bottoming out and capable of more than a technical rally, but a major recovery move, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some pretty big corrections in a number of the commodities, including crude oil, because we would quite probably see some of the speculative tracker money and tracker type money come out of those markets. But we'll see. We'll be guided. I certainly will be guided by the charts. In this, what I'm saying is, I'm theorizing, and the theory will get scrapped if I don't see the evidence in the charts, as should always be the case. Well, I think that's pretty much it for another week. It's been a tough week, but I don't think this is grounds for despair, and I'll conclude where I began, saying this is the time to be looking at where we want to be concentrating our investment positions next, and that may well be in a number of the positions that you already have. That will be my position to a certain extent, but there are also other things that I'm looking at, and I've mentioned before that if stock markets are beaten further down as to some of the levels that bears are forecasting, then I will be bringing, I will be dipping into my cash fund and certainly allocating that. But whether or not I do that, I'll certainly, Owen and I will certainly be focused on what looks best for that recovery move in global equities. Okay, well, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. There's some great tennis on at Wimbledon. We have two exciting finals. If you're interested in that, and well, whatever you're doing, have a splendid time. And meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.